Come on and spend time with Joe's people. Just like near the old cathedral. I'm so glad I'm one of Joe's people. And we'll have a lot of laughs, get closer to the Lord. Just chill out now with Joe's people.
Ladies and gentlemen of the interwebs, welcome to Joe's People. It's a Catholic podcast, but it's not totally lame. Tonight on the big show, Joe laughs it up with his co-host Suzanne Miller and talks about theology of the body and sweaty workouts. Then one of Joe's jet-setting world traveler friends, Ruth Walsh, comes on the show to talk about growing up in a family of nine kids, her faith journey, and finding her ministry. And now, the man who makes me a better Catholic. Wait, I'm not saying that. You're the reason St. Paul had to write to the Corinthians so often.
Just say the line.
Durr. And now, the man who makes me a better Catholic, Mr. Joe Geisler.
All right, so thanks for that intro. So I'm here this week with my buddy Suzanne Miller. How's it going, Suzanne?
Good, Joe. How are you?
Good, good. Good audio levels off of you. So
great.
Sometimes my guests get on here and then I'm like 20 decibels higher than they are. So, and decibels are like an exponential scale. So that means I'm putting in like 100 times more energy than they are into the effort. So just give an idea that like the level of participation my guests sometimes give me. So, but yeah, so, all right. So how's life?
Life's great. That's really good. It's the weather's getting, well, maybe not today, but cooler weather is on the horizon.
It is
in Austin, Texas, which is always good.
We'll drop out of the hundreds.
Yeah, and you have football going full force, and a lot of burnt orange out there.
I tell people that I found a way to filter football out of my. I'm gonna lose some fans for this, but I can filter football out of my feed now on Facebook because I can just set it as profanity, and then the word football and Longhorn and Aggie. And it won't even, it'll just show up as like a curse word and be blocked by mine. So it's kind of cool. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, I'm such an ambivalent sports person in Austin, Texas, because I didn't go to school in Texas.
Yeah, I didn't either. I don't
know. So I am
digging and all that. Yeah, so.
I'm part of the University of Delaware as my alma mater.
True.
We are the Fighting Blue Hens, so.
Oh yeah, you got to watch out for Fighting Blue Hens.
Exactly. It's a pretty fierce bird.
That could get fierce.
My dad used to just call it a cold chicken.
Cold chicken. Yeah, because it's blue. So, Fighting Blue. Anyway, yes, you're one of my swing dance people. So I was thinking about, we danced very early in our friendship, as I recall. So.
Yeah, I mean, sort of. I don't do a lot. I love to dance.
Not sort of. We danced at the
Yeah, we did. We did dance, yes.
Let's, you know, yeah, so. But, yeah, so. Yeah, and I wanted to ask about, okay, so now you're big on exercise. How's the exercise regimen going?
Good.
So. Good. Now, are you doing the insanity thing, or what are you doing now?
I am doing a program. It's called T25.
Now, it seems like you shift to different things.
I do. I mean, just like anybody in their workout routine, you can't do the same thing all the time because your body will plateau. And so
I thought like the insanity, all the other people, they're like, oh no, you can just do this for the rest of your life. And well, there's variation inside the workout or something.
I personally like to rotate if you have a few different workouts. I mean, you only need a handful of workouts that you can rotate throughout the year. And so I tend to focus one, you know, insanity is a high intensity interval training one. So that is, I would say, is the ultimate fat shredder workout.
Okay.
And then I also love P90X because of the weights involved, and it also has it's got a little bit of cardio, but it's a weight program, but not heavy weights. It's more of that lean kind of Spider-Man, I would say. Maybe more Superman kind of look if you're going to go for heroes.
It's hard to pick between those two.
Yeah.
Which one I want to be.
Yeah. And then you also one of my favorite ones that's fairly new, it's come out about a year ago, it's called Body Beast. And that is a purely weightlifting program.
Yeah.
And so if you want to kind of get a variety of workouts, you can each one of those programs, like Insanity is a 60-day program, P P90X is 90.
Yeah.
Body Beast is a little bit less than what is that? I think it's a little bit less than 90 days. I forget. And then you could rotate something else in there too if you wanted to. I always think it's good to take a break.
Yeah.
You know, for a week or a couple weeks and do. And when I say take a break, do like walking or stretching or something like that during that time period. So between the few workouts, you can rotate and keep your body, keep that plateau and always, you know, with nutrition and stuff.
That's cool. Do the whole cross training
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Now, what about the, so now Theology of the Body, it's mostly about sex, but what about, but now it's also about like health and fitness too, or it could be. Right, like I don't usually hear Christopher West talk about, you know, exercise or something, right? But you at least have espoused that it should be more, or you know, you could. There's a component there about health and fitness too, right?
Definitely, I think you know, a component of the Catholic faith is always the dignity of life and respect for life, and it's a respect for yourself and respect for others. And
the person has to sit beside you on the plane. Right? Yeah, respect for that. That's true. Yeah.
So I think it really does come all together with health and fitness. I mean, there's an extreme. You can't be so into health and fitness that you make the body an idol.
Yeah, you don't want to get into vanity.
And so that happens as well. I mean, there's this, as with anything, there's some sort of moderation. And it's certainly not bad to have a meal once in a while that's completely indulgent and, you know, calories are high and everything. But, you know, if you have that every day, obviously that's not good for you.
Yeah.
So it kind of all comes into play with that and of just respecting yourself. And I feel like that is something that it seems to be more on our mind. Now, and I think we know that we have a problem with obesity and overweight and just sedentary lives.
Yeah.
If nothing else, you know, just being inactive is not good for us in
and
so many different ways.
People can listen to my podcast while they're running. I think that's an option.
Definitely.
They could be sitting on the sofa eating chips, or they could be running while they're listening to my podcast.
Yeah. Or at a cleaning house.
They could be doing it. Yeah.
I usually clean. I put it on. I love listening to podcasts. So when I'm cleaning my little studio condo,
there you go. People should be cleaning and listening to my podcast.
Yeah,
all over the world.
You can burn calories and listen to your and have something that's clean and mentally healthy for you too.
There you go. We're sometimes that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about this sounds like you could have your own book there on Theology of the Body / Fitness there. That's a wide open field there.
You know, there are a few people, I'd say just a very small handful of people that actually have kind of done that in a sense. I'm not sure if it's particularly towards Theology of the Body, but it's combining Catholic faith and fitness.
Yeah. We'll have to do some research.
There's just a handful, like I mentioned before, the Rosary Workout Book by Peggy Boyles. And, that's a great book that allows you to, wherever you are, if you're more of a fitness person, then it allows you to kind of focus on your spirituality while you're walking and vice versa.
I heard, you know, St. Christopher, I think he had pretty good abs. They said he was a pretty strong guy. Right? So he lifted the Christ child across the river there, so he got him across. He's supposed to be the heaviest person ever. So that was a whole thing about St. Christopher. He'd take people across a river, and then one time, you know, he's like incredibly strong, and then one time this little child shows up to be taken across the river, and he almost drowns under the kid's weight, and then it ends up it was the Christ child. So I forget what the moral of the story was, though. Bearing Christ's sins or something, I don't know. But yeah, there could be. I wanted to have like a Theology of the Body dancers come on the show, so except it's a radio show, so I don't know if it really work. But
I have not heard of that.
So we're gonna talk to our buddy Ruth.
Yeah,
we're gonna interview Ruth now. Now you said that Ruth is. Wait, how long have you known Ruth now?
I've known Ruth for goodness, 6 years, 5 or 6 years.
Okay,
right around there.
And then you said. Now, you said Ruth had a little bit of something to do with your conversion.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And I think we talked about that on your podcast. But what about, How do you think, like, sometimes I have friends that are like, you know, I kind of like you Catholics because you're not, like, shoving your religion in my face. You're not, like, trying to convert me. But then I'm like, okay, but and I think we kind of err on the other side where we don't, like, some of us don't ever talk about our faith and we don't make any effort at all to share it. So, like, what do you think a Catholic, if a Catholic, you know, if we want to have a good story like you, or, you know, we're like, oh, yeah, Joe is really instrumental in me. Like, I don't have any of this story. So what should we be like? Should we just be holy and let people guess? Or how should we approach our non-Catholic friends?
So. You know, I think being enthusiastic. I mean, I know that being Catholic has radically changed my life for the better.
Yeah.
And
you are enthusiastic. Okay.
And so it's given my life a direction and a compass and a guideline and a lens at which to view the world. And when I have questions about something, I have a source to go to. And so, you know, for me, I think just being openly Catholic and not being ashamed of being Catholic and being, you know, enthusiastic about it, is sometimes the best way. I mean, I think that sometimes we, you know, kind of downplay it in our lives for risk of offending people because we don't want to. And I've taken the approach of not putting a rosary or a crucifix in front of your face, but saying, this is my life and this is how I lead it. And I'm happy.
It's like that Saint Irenaeus said, you know, the glory of God as a human fully alive, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I mean, it's given me so much to be Catholic. So,
yeah,
I think that's the best way is just to do that and try and act, obviously. You know, we're all hypocrites.
Yeah.
We all say, I mean, one thing and we'll do another. And that's part of being human. So that being, and I'm the worst at it than anybody, of being judgmental and not having patience with people and you know, but you'll want that for yourself, or you'll say, this is how I live my life. And then you'll do something like, I say, eat healthy. But of course, one of my favorite things is chips and queso. And
well, there you go. So you know.
Well,
you're looking buff. It's all working. That's all. Can't see it on the radio though. Sorry. And I don't know if my photographer will be here today. So, but yeah. So. But yeah. But Ruth will be here soon. Yeah. So we'll take a break. And I know you don't like long banters.
I don't.
So, yeah. You hate long banters.
I want to get
so
to the heart.
You
want to
get
to
the heart, the meat of all. All right. Well, we'll take a break and we'll be back.
Support the building of the First Marian Shrine in Austin. Join local Austin Catholics at the Chateau Bellevue for the annual Seeds of Grace Gala, September 26th, from 7 to 10 p.m., hosted by the Schoenstatt Movement of Austin. Enjoy a catered meal, silent auction, video presentation about the shrine, and a keynote speech by Monsignor Michael Siss, Vicar General for the Diocese of Austin. For more information about the gala and to purchase tickets, visit seedsofgrace.eventbrite.com. That's Seeds of Grace. eventbrite.com or schoenstatt.us. That's schoenstatt.us. If you have any questions about the event, email them to seedsofgracegala@gmail.com. That's seedsofgracegala@gmail.com.
All right, so we're back. I'm here, yeah, so back with my buddy Suzanne Miller. And now we're joined by my good buddy Ruth. How's it going, Ruth?
Good.
So now, so we want to talk about your story. Now you're six of nine, you said, right?
Number six, yeah.
Number six of nine. So you're the neglected middle child or something, right? So
I hope I don't act like
although,
that.
Although, yeah, you're not quite the, you're, or what they say, the middle
but
child
fights
for.
But I'm the youngest girl, so I'm daddy's girl. So there was some benefits to that, still is.
Okay, yeah. Now you mentioned debt. Now you said I had an interesting wait. So we got to talk about how long you've been one of my Joe's people. So that's it's been it was like 5 or 6 years or something since we worked together
on
Theology on Tap.
Yes.
We were on the speakers committee.
Yes,
I got us Professor Buczyszewski. So, and he's going to be on the podcast eventually.
Oh, good.
We'll have to work it out, but he's busy now. So, but yeah, so. Yeah, we've known each other for a while. You actually, she's come swing dancing as well. So yeah, you've come swing dancing. So that makes you like one of my, you know, like Joe's premium people.
Okay, we get like extra.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's like extra. Dance, it's like platinum level. Or,
so, there's so many benefits.
Yeah, there are. There's, you get miles. It's all sorts of stuff. Yeah, so. But yeah, so now what? Okay, yeah. So you had a big story. We should start with your parents' meeting story, since that's the genesis of all this.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So my dad did go to the seminary for high school, and when he met my mom, she was discerning going into the convent.
Yeah.
And so they had to do some serious soul searching to decide to be with one another, and then, you know, got married, had 9 kids, and the rest is history.
Okay, so they didn't go the nun and the priest route. Okay.
They did not.
Slightly different, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's been about 46 years or something. So they're doing well. It's the right decision.
So you think it was right?
I think so.
You think it was the right decision? Yeah, I think it's probably, did okay.
I wouldn't be on your podcast today.
That's true. Yeah, we'd have to be searching for somebody else.
And I wouldn't be Catholic.
There we go. There's a lot of...
I was saying, I don't get any stories like that where it's like, if it wasn't for Joe, I wouldn't be Catholic. It's like... If I wasn't for Joe, I wouldn't be swing dancing is about the only thing I get.
I get a lot of credit on that one, but I don't think I deserve it.
It's all good.
I just invited, right? If you just invite people, sometimes it actually
I invite
works.
People. You got, everybody's lit. You can come to the Catholic Church. You know, we'll hang out. I'll buy you beer if you become a Catholic. So that's
the coolest thing.
That's my offer. Mm-hmm. So I my buddy Robert, I said if he came to the cathedral, I'd get him free passes to the swing dances. So I got him in the cathedral. But he was already Catholic, though. Yeah. But then he left anyway. He's at St. Louis. So. Now, okay, so you talked about your parents are... Oh, wait, okay, now. What about... Okay, now, growing up in a family of 9 kids now. So, I grew up in a family of 7, so I can kind of guess sort of what that was like.
What
so.
Number were you?
I was 7 of 7.
Oh, wow, so, baby.
Yeah, so... But, yeah, I wasn't the spoiled... I was the, you know, runt of the litter or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, so... So what was that like with the parents and growing up? And now, where did you grow up? You grew up in Texas, right?
Yes, in San Antonio.
Okay. Yeah,
it was so. Always busy.
Yeah.
And I love to tell people we didn't have air conditioning in San Antonio.
Really?
Parents, well, they must have had it, but they never ran it.
That's child abuse. You can see.
It's so funny as you don't miss it if you don't know.
Yeah, if you don't know any better.
But
we got air conditioning in the late 70s, early 80s. Mm-hmm. But I was in with my brother, Steven. See, I lucked out. He had asthma. So... We got a room air conditioner because he had asthma and I was his roommate, so
you were spoiled.
I was golden. So, but yeah, and then but we couldn't have pets because he had asthma though. But yeah. So yeah, then we got AC eventually. So, but back to you.
Well,
so,
did eventually get my own room because I was the youngest girl.
Okay.
So I had my own bedroom, and there's only 2 of us that can say that ever happened. But it was a tiny house. It's like, I think it's like 1,500 square feet. They still live there. So, yeah.
My dad used to squeeze 9 of us into a Volkswagen Beetle when I was a kid. So it was just, it just did it. Just a,
that, like a clown car?
Yeah, yeah. He would come out like a clown. He just liked to do. Oh, and then I would sit in my mom's lap. I mean, this is child abuse, right? This is that would you be CPS would be involved with
you
stuff like that nowadays.
Out okay, if you have a podcast named after you.
It's all good. I'm not complaining. So yeah, no. Yeah, but now you talk about how your parents. You said your parents are pro-life, they were pro-life activists. You grew up and the parents were you know strongly involved. But then you talk about how so the pro-life lobby, our whole pro-life effort gets dinged for, oh, you don't care about women, right? You just care about the baby, you don't care about the mother. But now talk about your parents and how they sort of dealt with the issue.
Right, because I think they did more, and we did do the marches and everything as kids. Mm-hmm. They brought all of us. And I guess having 9 children says you're very pro-life. But they also just took it a step further and wanted to be part of the solution. And so... When I was young, we took in unwed pregnant mothers. And I remember at one time in that house.
In addition to the 9 kids,
we had 4. I mean, I don't know how exactly all that worked. And I don't think it was for a long period of time. But that's how open they were and how they wanted to be part of the solution. They wanted these women to know, you know, they could do this. They could make it. They could have help.
Yeah.
And that was a very Christian outreach way to do it. Instead of just saying, I'm pro-life. You need to do what I think you should do. They actually... Yeah. You know, did it out of love. They're still involved to this day. They help a pregnancy crisis center there, and they donate and they do mailings for them. And so they still do their little ways, but they did a lot when we were young. Yeah. And they also somehow had time to be really involved in church, and they were very active, you know, in our parishes.
Yeah.
So somehow they juggled all of us going to a million practices, and they put all 9 of us through 13 years of Catholic school.
Yeah.
So this was obviously important to them, and they obviously are very good at organization.
Yeah. Balancing it all. See, okay, that's my argument sometimes. Okay, not my pet peeve is that maybe it's unfounded, but it seems like the parish, like, it relies on all the single people to do a lot of the ministries, right? And then some of the married people with kids, it's like, hey, I got married people with kids, you know, you guys got to take care of us, basically. Yeah. Like, in terms of, like, RE. Oh, yeah, let's get all the angry loners to run the RE program. Let's not.
I think that's a stereotype.
But people can do, like, you know, they can be involved. Like, my grandfather, my mom said my grandfather used to, like, run dances for the kids to get the singles in general, get singles involved, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, there could at least be an awareness that, like, for the family that, like, hey, you know, you can still, you know, do stuff with the church, you mm-hmm. know, get your angry loner friends involved and, you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that, right? So, because your parents are an example of it, right? You don't get, like,
who are we, the angry loners?
No, you're not an angry loner. You're married, so I don't know.
I just got married.
No, I just meant, like, so. But, like, a third of the church is single, right? So we have the, what I see sometimes is there's, like, a split between the, I see the people, like, we have the families with kids as, like, one part of the parish. They go to a certain mass sometimes. Yeah. And then I see, like, the single people or another.
Well, that's a natural thing, though. Want to, you know, experience faith with those that are like you. I mean, I think that's normal.
Yeah, but I mean, but I'm just saying, like, I think it's, I would just put a positive spin on it. Say your parents would be a good example for, like, staying, like, taking care of the family, but also taking care of the extended family, like, you know, being involved in the parish, right?
Yeah, so, I agree.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Sorry, what were you saying?
I don't know. I feel that there are plenty of very active family members. I mean, one of the things, kind of the cliche, is that, you know, when you want something done, ask somebody who's busy.
Yeah.
And who is busier than mothers?
Yeah.
And they can get stuff done.
That's true. So. I agree, but I will see people, like, their participation level drop off to zero once they get married or have kids in many things.
You know, it may be an adjustment period.
I agree.
I think that may happen because transitioning from single life to married life, and especially
agree, they got to figure out how to balance
children.
It. Yeah,
so. You know, that is such a huge transition, but that doesn't mean. That's just a season. And so you may see for a season that's had to dwindle just because of the nature.
And then they have to have their priorities, right?
You know, especially when their kids start getting into the religious education.
Yeah.
Start going to school.
Although then they expect us angry loners to teach their kids in RE. So.
You just sound angry. Stop.
It's a Simpsons reference.
Well, I have never been asked.
So. I won't go in. I won't go into whether who.
Well, I think anyway, that for everybody, isn't faith a journey? I can say...
It is, yeah.
Okay, so I was a single person for the first 37 years.
Yeah.
And I think that it's a journey. I think there are times in my faith where it's very active and involved, and then really not at all, and then mediocre, and I don't know. So,
but I just mean in terms of the... A lot of times the church talks about our parish sizes in terms of families.
True.
And they forget, like, half or a third of the church is single.
Oh,
so there's that whole thing. But anyway, sorry, I'm ranting. I should take a break. I'll take a break and I'll be back. All right.
Are you looking for the best Catholic content on the web, or wondering how your parish or ministry can take advantage of social and new media? Hi, I'm Jason Elizondo, co-founder of Austin Catholic New Media. Our team of bloggers, podcasters, and new media experts are dedicated to serving the church and spreading her message of God's love and mercy. We connect Catholics and collaborate on new and existing media projects in the Central Texas area. We promote and highlight the great things that Catholics are doing with new media in the Diocese of Austin and beyond. Our team is here to help educate your parish or ministry by providing education, support, and consultation on how to use new and social media to further your mission. We host the award-winning Two Guys to Grow on a Catholic podcast, and are home of the best collection of bloggers and podcasters in the Austin Diocese. If you'd like to find out more about Austin Catholic New Media, make sure you check out our website, austincnm.com. That's austincnm.com.
All right, so we're back. We're talking with my buddy Ruth, and she's slightly less nervous now that we've been bantering. So a tiny anecdote. You mentioned about your parents, or why you asked your mom why she married your dad, right?
Yes.
Now, what did she say?
And I was a hopeless romantic as a kid. But her answer was that she married my dad because he was the only one that she ever met who loved God as much as she did.
Yeah.
And since they both felt vocations, that kind of made sense. So it was a good way to learn from history. But, you know, if you find someone who shares your faith, it may give you more of a balanced and long future.
Yeah.
So if you share that from the get-go.
They need to be able to dance, though, too.
My parents dance all the time.
Okay, that's good.
They're big dancers. They know the foxtrot and all.
Do they?
The
See, I don't even know the foxtrot. I don't even know how to waltz. This is how bad. There's
a
big gap.
They go to like a dance.
Really?
I think it's every other month.
Really?
They are really into it.
That's better than their daughter. She really don't.
I'd love to dance.
Been kind of a slacker. Yeah,
I
don't know what you guys haven't been at the Fed. I give grief to people for not. Like, I give people more grief for not showing up to a dance than for not going to mass. So I get a. And it works in everybody. It works in atheists, Jews, Protestants, Catholics, everybody. So it's
your Catholic guilt works on
Catholic guilt works in everybody. Oh yeah, I had a Baptist pastor friend. I saw her in the hike and bike trail, and I said, "Hey, you haven't been dancing lately." And she's like, "Yeah, sorry. I feel so bad. I feel Catholic guilt." So now I want to talk about your reversion story. Or you call it reversion.
I know that's an interesting...
Okay, I call it that now. Your faith journey, however you want to say. People call themselves reverts instead of converts sometimes if they, you know... left and come back. They always leave in college and come back.
Right. So I guess mine's kind of similar to that.
It's okay. You have a unique story. Everybody has.
I don't know if it's unique.
It can be unique. It's all good, yeah. So.
I was pretty involved in high school
and
youth choir and loved it. At my church, and it was also called St. Thomas More, which is interesting because that keeps coming back. My adult church has been St. Thomas
More. He's the patron saint of the podcast, actually. I've adopted him as the man for all seasons. He knows when to, you know, you can cry and laugh and dance, and there's time to pray.
I really hope
and
you don't make me cry today.
So, no, I don't see that happening. I don't pretty much, yeah.
So I was really involved, and I'm fired for my faith, and when I got confirmed, I just thought, this is it. And then
what age did you get confirmed?
It's 16 in San Antonio.
Okay.
All
right.
How they do it there.
Because it's all over the place, depending on the diocese.
Right,
some
we're
kids
still
in
South
like,
Texas. So.
Yeah, okay. Like, I did eighth grade. So, yeah, about...
I was
a
sophomore.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a little different.
All right.
And then went to college at what's now Texas State Southwest back then. And, you know, it just kind of started getting more lukewarm. Like, I went to the Catholic Student Center, but didn't, like... bond or, you know, find the right match or something. And then I moved to South...
Lukewarm. See, we got to avoid lukewarmness. I tell people, especially on Facebook with the damn maybes. Sorry, I'll cut that out. With the maybes, like the... when I have a party, I say... I always quote from where it says, you know, because you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. I know. But I always tell them about, like, you know, avoiding being lukewarm because God will vomit you out of his mouth. So.
Oh,
but anyway, so... Sorry, go back to your story.
Well, I was lukewarm. That makes me feel even better about it. The Catholic guilt is already.
It could have been your. It could have been your cold. God would be better if you.
I was still going to mass now, so I was just kind of lukewarm. I wasn't super involved.
Yeah.
And then I moved to South Florida the day after graduation, and then I was dating somebody who really wasn't as into it, and I think I just started going away. Then I moved back to Texas to Austin. And still was just searching. And so I did a little church shopping, as I like to call it, and tried some of the non-denominational. So, like, Gateway. And then I started going to, like, Riverbend a lot.
Now, did you start praying with your hands in the air? Were you doing a lot of...
I got back to my reversion to Catholic again.
So were you able to go to, like, Gateway and others and, like, not... You're not doing, like, waving your hands or anything?
How do I say this? I was too Catholic to
do that.
But I didn't learn that until later.
Because I've gone to like a Casting Crowns concert. I said I'm not going to wave my hands though. I'll go, but I'm not going. I'm not waving my hands.
Much more to tell you about.
But anyway, sorry. Yeah.
So I really did start going to Riverbend and listening to Gerald Mann, and I did like the music. Mm-hmm. But after a while, I sincerely started to miss the Eucharist, And that was a good turning point for me because I think it made me know what is the most important part of our faith,
yeah.
what I was missing. And so it really defined it for me that going to Mass was about receiving Jesus. You
yeah.
know? And so then a friend of mine invited me. See, similar to what I did to you, I was invited to St. Thomas More to the Life Teen Mass.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was into that music now.
Yeah,
you know,
I
into that
yeah.
contemporary music. Well, and so Life
Teen, you
know,
some people
very
have varying views of Life Teen, but yeah.
I have only positive views. So I really liked the music, and that's what hooked me.
Yeah.
And so then I just started going there and going there. And then they have a CHRP program, Christ Renews His Parish.
Mm-hmm.
And
which I always said should be pronounced CRIP, actually, CRHP. I don't know.
Agreed.
But CHRP. Okay,
agreed.
Yeah, CHRP. But yeah, okay, CHRP. It makes a better acronym.
We don't
acronym,
want to sound
yeah.
like a gang.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah. Okay.
So, and I'm from San Antonio, and that's
yeah.
just
okay.
crossing too many lines.
Yeah.
But,
so you joined the CHRP cult, or whatever, the movement.
Okay,
or,
so
sorry,
I'm going to
yeah,
define sorry. And tell you what that was like. Defend. I went through the process because it is about renewing your faith,
mm-hmm.
and I needed that. Like, I knew I was back in, but I wasn't
yeah.
sure where I fit anymore and what to do. And so that process is like accelerated healing, and it helps you bond with like 30 other women in the community, in my
yeah.
case. And then the whole purpose of CHRP.
There's a lot of crying. Involved.
There's a lot of crying. That's
yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
healing, you know, liquid tears.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we do there.
That's
what we do. So,
and the sacraments. There's a lot of the sacraments, right?
But
so.
Being Catholic, I was
yeah.
very felt very guilty for leaving. You know,
yeah.
and I had my own issues and things I needed to work out. So that was just a fabulous experience to sort of help me get to the next step. Which at the time I didn't know it. CHRP helps you discern where you should be in ministry in the parish.
Yeah.
So they helped me discern that I should work with teens, which shocked me
yeah.
because up until that point, I thought I didn't like teenagers and I hated when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Like, hated that time of my life. It's like my worst little period.
Were you a problem teen?
No, I was a goody two-shoes and then not accepted by my peers. Like, I felt that way. Now that I'm... You know, hopefully a more mature adult, I think a lot of your own perceptions may come from your own insecurities.
Yeah.
So I can't even blame my, you know, the people who went to school with me. It was probably me being insecure.
Yeah. I think we all, as teenagers, felt alone.
Yes.
I think that's just
alone.
Part of being teenagers is that, you know, that you're trying to figure out who you are and separate yourselves from your parents. It's a very kind of a lone process because you feel like you're so different than everybody else, and so you're trying to be different. But as we, you know, the kind of the joke is, you know, when you start doing all the alternative dressing and stuff like that, you start looking like everybody else too. So
mm-hmm.
it's really funny. I think it's just one of those alone periods of our life. So
I think that's,
you know, I think we all, and I like you and. I mean, I was a goody two-shoes, too.
You still like me, thanks.
I mean,
that's,
like
that's
like
good,
you.
Yeah. I'm partial.
So we met as adults.
Similar to you.
Okay.
I was a...
Don't start to... You're not going to start dressing alike and stuff like that. Just don't be doing
we
that.
We should have coordinated today.
Yeah.
We have t-shirts. So we
yes.
actually have ribbons we can put in our hair that are exactly
goody.
The same.
Yes.
Anyway, so yeah, so... Well, yeah, you were talking. Okay, so you discerned by through CHRP that you should be with, you should help out the teens. And
so I started with the Life Teen program, being, you know, one of their core members, and I was actually just a sub core member. I wouldn't even be like a full fledged because I was so nervous.
Yeah.
And that was at St. Thomas More, and Mark Crowley was running it then, and
oh, yeah,
he was like,
know.
"Why can't you just commit?" And I'm like, "I'm not ready." It was just. Crazy.
It takes a while.
But it was a great experience to get me sort of immersed in that. And then I decided to move to New York. So it was a kind of random decision.
Yeah.
As I turned 29 and thought,
crisis coming up.
If I don't 29. Do it now, I'll never do it.
Yeah.
And so I tried.
Because a third of your life's over, basically, is what you're thinking, right?
At the
time. Right?
Now that
yeah.
I'm a little bit older, I was like, oh, that probably wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But I thought I was in crisis. And
yeah.
I wanted to move to Manhattan. And I sort of missed it by a little bit, and I ended up in Long Island. But it was
Long Island.
And I searched for a Life Teen parish that was active that I could join.
Yeah.
And the closest one was 45 minutes away.
Yeah. Oh.
But
It's got that Life Team music, though.
They had the Life Team music where I even eventually started putting up my hands.
Oh, really?
Just so you know. So I became one of those people. And I thought I would never be that because I'm so, like, traditional Catholic, or thought I was.
Yeah.
And then now I love it.
We're going to do a whole show on Catholics and their hand movements.
You probably could. And my mother would have a different stance than what I have. She's like, don't ever put your hand.
They always want to hold my hand. When I was in Taiwan, they were holding my hand.
Oh, I love.
They dragged me out
of. I'm all about that.
I was in Hualien. I think they called it the Mass for Foreigners or something. And it didn't say it. But anyway, so I'm in the front row, and like they're. Like when it goes to the Our Father, like, you know, here it's whatever. You want to hold hands? Oh, great, you know. But no, I was like standing in front. They dragged me out of my pew to like be in a big circle during the Our Father.
That's a little uncomfortable.
But yeah, it was a bit okay. Much. But, yeah, so. But anyway, all right. So enough about me. We should take a break and we'll be back with you.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Support the building of the First Marian Shrine in Austin. Join local Austin Catholics at the Chateau Bellevue for the annual Seeds of Grace Gala, September 26th from 7 to 10 p.m., hosted by the Schoenstatt Movement of Austin. Enjoy a catered meal, silent auction, video presentation about the shrine, and a keynote speech by Monsignor Michael Siss, Vicar General for the Diocese of Austin. For more information about the gala and to purchase tickets, visit seedsofgrace.eventbrite.com. That's seedsofgrace.eventbrite.com or schoenstatt.us. That's schoenstatt.us. If you have any questions about the event, email them to seedsofgracegala@gmail.com. That's seedsofgracegala@gmail.com.
All right, so we're back. And now, so let's see. We want to talk about your, okay, so Chirp decided that, or you finally discerned your ministry. Now your ministry is flowers, you said.
Well, right, now it's turned into something different. I'm not involved in Life Teen anymore. Mm-hmm. In New York, I was for 2 years. I was in the band and a core member and loved it. It was one of my favorite faith journeys, if you will. I was so involved, and I made the best of friends, and it was a great time for my faith and for my life. But I did miss home, so I did move back. But since then... about 3.5 years ago, I started my own business, and I...
Flourish Austin.
Flourish Austin.
Yeah.
I'm an event floral designer.
FLE.
Sounds so...
And she's amazing.
You're so
amazing.
I do like your... I've seen your flower arrangements. They're awesome.
Yeah, because you go to a lot of Catholic functions.
Yeah, I end up at the galas, so... Eat a lot of gala foods. There's no doubt about that.
I love the gala foods. You know, I'm in circuit.
Yeah, the thing is that people don't realize is that there is a Catholic season. And, you know, very much like you hear of the British literature, the London season, and that's where people will go.
Yeah, the gala season starts.
There's a gala season.
Yeah, we have a couple
during
the year. And
you have a circuit, and you just...
And that's typically when I'm busy.
Yeah.
It's also during wedding season. So,
and one of the things I think about is that there's different ways of evangelizing, right? And one of them is, Lewis talked about, I was just talking the other day with a guy that, Larry Linenschmidt, that runs the Hill Country Institute, talks about C.S. Lewis. Lewis said that, something to, paraphrasing, but it's like that reason stands in front of the soul and keeps faith from the soul. And one of the ways around it, Lewis thought, is story. But I said, well, I think other ways are like music, but also beauty, right? Mm-hmm. So now you use the beauty of flowers, right? That's your ministry, right?
Well, thank you. I've never put it that way, but I sure like that.
Well, there you go.
Well, I was struggling last year when we were going through our premarital classes, and Deacon Jack Murphy, I was just like, oh, I'm not in a ministry at my parish, and I feel guilty because it's just Catholic guilt constant. He's like,
and I can always put you in something if you need something, just whatever.
Well, what he said is, you don't think of your flowers as ministry, and you know the things you do with that, and helping out different nonprofits and Catholic groups, and that. And I was like, oh, I guess I never really thought about how much time and effort, and really cost, you know, that I do give through that. And so now it's really
you're in
my
a support
ministry.
Role.
I'm definitely in a support role.
Yeah.
I also have a talent of making gift baskets, and I'm very detail oriented. So
I got to make one for that gala.
That's right. We have coming up. So I do have
free 30 to 60 second ad on Joe's People, as long as it's tasteful.
Be good. So that is just now part of my ministry too, is helping people like with their silent auctions and that kind of thing. And that has nothing to do with my flower business, but just with my personal talents.
Marge Simpson said she doesn't like silent auctions because they encourage, you know, hovering.
Oh.
She doesn't like that.
You really like the Simpsons. I didn't have a TV for a long time.
We gotta work.
So.
We gotta work that in.
You have
it's
to
on,
work them in.
It's on Hulu. It's on Hulu all the time. So, but yeah. So we wanted to talk about your travel story. So did we want to talk about Paris? Is that your
Paris is probably the best Paris? Travel story.
Yeah, let's get that one.
But
in.
But I did. So, you know, I was never fearful of traveling alone, and so in March of 2001, I actually went to Pakistan.
Yeah, that was your first trip outside the U.S. Was Pakistan?
To Pakistan
by yourself.
Yes.
Wow.
I have
but
fans.
I did it for business.
I have fans in Pakistan, actually. So.
And they had people there, but I did have to travel and be by myself a lot.
So which city was it? Hyderabad or what?
Karachi?
Karachi. Okay.
On the ocean and millions of people.
Cool.
So, like, amazing. You know, would not trade the experience, but very eye opening and you know, at moments a little tense for me.
Yeah.
Of course, hey. Being naive is best, and I didn't know the Taliban or whatever was probably in the same area, because this was March of 2001, so
before 9/11. It's better you don't know what's going on.
I'm grateful I went, because I don't foresee that happening again.
Yeah.
But then it just gave me, the more you do it, traveling by yourself, the less fearful you are. Like, you just get over things, and so I did a lot of traveling by myself.
I went to Taiwan the first time I left the U.S. So yeah, I had a blast.
By yourself?
Yeah, I had a blast.
There you go. It's just amazing. It's a totally different experience, you know, just doing that.
Don't have to drag people along. Yeah,
no, but you also logistical things. The whole point of my story is you have to rely on your intuition.
Yeah.
And I think intuition comes from the Holy Spirit. I think that something must be tugging you to go a certain way, you know? And so I have a lot of that in this Paris story. Have I ever told you my Paris story? Oh, Suzanne, you're going to love this.
No.
So.
There you go. She's gonna have to she should have to listen to the podcast.
She doesn't even have to listen to it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Now she has to listen to the podcast. Okay, whatever.
Paris story. On one of my trips, I was actually flying back from Budapest for IBM, doing events for them. And on Air France, they come to me in first class back in the days when I got to fly that way.
Nice.
And they're like, Miss Weinheimer, you know, we unfortunately have to put you up in Paris for the night. I'm like, what? I was so excited.
That's just so rough.
I had to act not like how I felt. I was like, oh yes, you know. And so I just hurriedly go to the hotel room, and it's like in the afternoon, and I only have that night. I have to leave the next morning. So I do tell someone in my family that I'm in Paris now for no reason. And so I asked the concierge, like, what should I do? And he's like, well, I think you should, you know, take a bus ride and a boat ride, and you'll see a lot of the city. And I'm like, perfect. He's like, oh, you can take the trains. Really simple. You can do this. And so I go in. I take the tours. It's fabulous. I take the train back. Now it's 1:30 in the morning. Okay, maybe I shouldn't have stayed out so late, but I wanted to see all of Paris. And I'm on this train, and I start to realize I've made a mistake. I just get this feeling like it starts looking sketchy, and like it's so late and so dark. And I knew I was on the last stop of whatever train I was supposed to be on, so I just rode that train to the end. But I started praying, because I knew I had gotten myself in a situation that I had no idea how to get out of, because I have nothing. I don't know a word of French, because I don't think I'm going to be there. So I'm not prepared.
Yeah.
So I just start praying for guidance and mercy, because I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get myself out of this. So I get off the train, and there's this guy, and I just go up to him, and I'm like, can you help me? And he's like, do you speak French? And I'm like, oh, you know. I'm like, well, how do you say that?
No idea.
Do you know? Thank you.
Parlez vous français. Yeah,
thank
of course.
I'm
yeah,
sure
sorry,
that's
sorry.
What he said.
Put me on the spot there. Anyway.
I should have.
I got fans in French in France. I need more, though. It's a big English-speaking population.
You should start population. Learning some of their
language. That would help, yeah.
I don't know either. So,
I eat French bread. I don't know.
So we go up, and there's like this taxi stand, and there's a taxi, and I go up to him, and he speaks perfect English, and I say, you know, can I get a ride? I need to go to this hotel. And he's like, perfect English. I'll go right in there, and she'll get you another cab. I already have someone. Well, he leaves. It's locked. You know, now I'm like, what am I going to do? And the guy is still standing with me. And he's like, once, you know, and he's got broken English, and we're trying to figure this out. And I'm in the middle of nowhere. Like, I'm in a suburb of Paris, and it's dark, and there's no lights, and that was the last train.
Yeah.
So there's just nowhere to go, and there's no one to help. And I looked at the phone book, but I don't speak French. I mean, I don't even know how to dial their phone, you know?
Yeah.
So he says, I take you. And I'm like, huh? He's like, I take you in my car. And I was like, oh boy, oh boy, now what do I do? You know? And then, but I did start having that, like, you know, that biblical story about the helicopter comes, the guy stranded, and God sends a helicopter.
Oh,
no, I'm waiting for God, right? Yeah. And then he sends the canoe, and he's like, no, I'm waiting for God to save me. I felt like that. Like, I felt like this guy kept offering, and I was like, what do I do? And I just gave it to God, and I'm like, okay, I'm getting in that car.
Well, you know, statistically speaking, you know, it's probably pretty good odds, you know. He's not a
and
killer,
I'm not saying you should get in strangers' cars if there are any minors listening to this podcast.
Yeah. No, I haven't broken into the teen market, I don't think. Even the university college kids in it.
But my best friend Amy said I should say that. If I tell the story.
Yeah, don't go into random strangers' cars. As a rule.
Anyway, so we get in the car and we can't find my hotel. No. And so we're driving around for like an hour. And he calls his wife, and I'm sure in French he's like, lost American girl. So she starts trying to help us.
Yeah.
Like, we're just, we find it. And he won't, like, take my money. I try to give him, like, 20 euros for the gas. And I give him my business card. I said, please, please, let me send you a thank you gift from the States. I get back to the States, and a week later I hear from this guy's wife. And you're thinking, oh, gosh. You know?
You American hussy. Why are you sending
she's
her?
She's so sweet. Yeah. And in her broken English, she's like, thank goodness it was my husband who picked you up because he's such a good man. You weren't in the best area. You know, anything could have happened.
Yeah.
You picked the right one. It was just a sweet note. So she and I start this friendship over email.
Oh, cool.
It was very cool. You know, she can type broken English. This goes on for like a year. And then I go to visit them.
Oh, cool.
So there. Now I'm visiting strangers. Don't do that either. Yeah. So I fly to Paris by myself, and I go, and they pick me up. But they don't really speak English that well.
Yeah.
Like, one understands it better, and one speaks it better. So we have, like, this triangle going on. It was awesome. So I
That was like in European vacation. He goes and stays with, like, this European couple. And he thinks that they're family, but they're not. But they don't speak a word of English.
So they just take him in,
and he stays with them for
very nice, very hospitable.
I hear the French have been nicer lately.
Well, this was 10 years ago, and they were delightful to me. But they lived outside of Paris.
Any of my fans in France that want to, you know, put me up for the night or whatever, you know, so
you'll take it.
Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah,
I'll take it anywhere. Actually.
Anywhere in the
I'm
Joe's
a professional
people,
couch server.
Any people in anybody in the Joe's people world, they can. Yeah. So, but anyway, so
you'll do a podcast for him.
Yeah, I'll put you in a podcast. I'll mention you or something.
So I got to throw in the little faith parts here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Do I have time for that?
Yeah. You have. Yeah.
So
you know how Suzanne hates banter, but yeah, we can. Yeah. So.
So glad we invited her.
But yeah, so. But yeah, faith part, yeah.
Okay, so she's about my age. She's an event planner. They're Catholic. Like, we just have a lot in common. Her husband's a cook, so that was awesome.
Oh, cool.
They fed me.
Wow.
A French cook. Yes, he was amazing. Awesome. And so, in the effort to let me see all of Paris, we go all over to all these churches. Well, they have an interesting story. They both lost one parent. He lost his father when he was young, and she lost her mother like 5 years before that. So they have a real, like, emotional connection as kind of like, you know, orphaned in a way, you know? And so I took him to Sacré Cœur, which is in Montmartre, and I think it means Sacred Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And we go in there, and there are these nuns singing. And it was just like walking into a church where angels were.
Wow.
It was the whole goosebumps. You knew this was it. And when we left, her name was Marie-Laure, or is Marie-Laure, and she said, she was kind of emotional. And I said, oh, are you okay? And she said, you know what? It's been a long time since I felt my mother's presence, but I felt it from there. So it was a good thing, like, she had left the church. She was a little angry that her mom had passed.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, so I spent a few more days with them. When I was leaving, Xavier, the husband, was showing me pictures of his childhood and his dad and telling that story. And he leaves the room emotional. I'm like, what did I do? I'm always opening my mouth. And Marie says, no. He doesn't really talk about that with anybody. He just felt so comfortable. And so there was some connection between us that helped me sort of bring their parents back to them in a way.
Yeah.
Which was really cool. But when I was leaving, she had all of these amazing Catholic relics, like from the 1800s, like Bibles that in French and medallions and statues. It was just a closet of this awesome stuff. Huh. And she said, you must take one. And I was like, Oh no, I cannot take your family's heirlooms, whatever. Yeah. And I wouldn't pick one. I was like, I can't. And she picked one, and she picked St. Teresa of Lisieux.
Oh.
And she said, this was my mother's favorite saint, and she would want you to have it. Oh, wow. Now I'm bawling. I'm such a crier.
We love St. Teresa.
Oh, we needed some emotion on
the podcast. Now you have Suzanne. And she hates banter. This is the exact banter she hates. Being on my podcast. Yeah,
no, so. She doesn't. So, so we are still in touch, you know, and it's lovely. But that, what do you call? I'm sorry. Is it a medallion?
A reliquary or what the relic?
No, it's not a relic, right?
It's a medallion.
Oh, it's a medallion.
Yeah. Medallion that you could wear or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. A sacred or yeah.
It's on the back. It's in French.
Yeah.
So,
medallion, there you go.
Yeah, okay,
yeah,
that's it. Metal. So I actually, when I got married a couple months ago, like attached that to my bouquet. Like it really still means that much to me. So I had to, of all my life, that might be one of my best stories. So that's why I thought you'd want to hear it today.
The Holy Spirit was leading you. So that's great.
But I was so blessed by that whole experience.
Yeah.
And one thing I left out was at the beginning of the story, when Xavier dropped me off at the hotel, when I first had my little thing, I literally just got on my knees and thanked the Lord for saving me. Because that's the only way I would have gotten out of that situation. And in my travels, like, you know, a couple of other times I can think where I just give it to God. Because I have no resources. No one's with me. I don't speak the language or whatever it is. And you kind of have to, once you give it up, you kind of have to follow where he takes you.
Yeah.
So I am a big person in believing in dreams, ask Suzanne. And I like to follow intuition and try to see, like, where am I being led and go for it. So that's why I've moved several times and changed jobs and careers and started a business. And
it's the Ruth Carey.
That's kind of my mantra.
Sort of, yeah.
Right? When you talk to me, Suzanne, don't we talk about that a lot? Like, just, like, you were awesome to, you know, go into personal training and follow all these dreams you had and, you know, do all these cool things. We always talk about, you know, what do we want to do with our lives? What do we want to do? Why not dream big? Why not go for it? So,
you know, and I think that's something great, but I also think I've had to learn that it's fine if you don't think that way. You know, like, I've had to, you know, because you listen to all these self-development books and everything, and, you know, a lot of them are by salespeople, and they're, you know, want to go big and bold and all that stuff. And there's something, you know, with the doing something small and just, you know, and having that type of life. And, you know, I think we need to appreciate that. If you're not, I think God gives us different talents and gifts, and we have to appreciate other people that aren't like yours.
That's so true.
And that's
Saint, like Saint Therese.
Exactly. Right? And that's a
she's patron of the missions, right? Even though she never left her convent, pretty much.
I am so, I'm just so bad at doing that. It was accepting people, and you know, I like, you know, I admire you so much because you're such a great businesswoman.
Oh, you're so sweet.
And that's something, you know,
a good decision to come on here and plug her show.
But to me, a good business is the same. I love museums and I love art, but that gives me the same sort of beauty as a good business model, somebody who knows customer service, who can do things. It gives me that same sort of feeling of just appreciation for that hard work. And so,
wow. That's an intelligent person talking right there. I just like museums and art. That's really cool. So.
And running a good business, that's all good. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So. And I was thinking about your story. It reminded me of, I always tell my traveler friends, one of my favorite quotes is T.S. Eliot, who's, you know, talked about, or in one of his poems, he said, you know, we shall never cease from traveling, and at the end of all our traveling, we shall arrive back to where we started and know the place for the first time. So, so it seems like you did that both in your faith and in your and in the world. So,
way to wrap it up. That
there
was
you
great.
Go. Is that a good wrap up or not?
That was a good way to you know,
tie it all together.
Tie it all together.
Yeah, so. All right. Well, thanks for being on the show. And you had a blast. So you had a blast, right?
This was fun.
There you go. See,
a lot more fun than I thought because I was so nervous.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it usually is. Yeah. But. All right. Well, we'll take a break and we'll be back.
Okay. That's the show for this week. I'd like to thank my good friend Suzanne Miller for being my co-host this week. She always keeps things interesting. And thanks to my friend Ruth. She always energizes a room, so it was a blast having her on. And her flower arrangements are awesome. You can check out her work at flourishaustin.com. That's FLEURISHAUSTIN.com. And I see we have a big fan base in Japan now, so I want to send out a big konnichiwa to Watashi no Nihonjin no Tomodachi. Skoshi Nihongo wakarimasu. Owete masen. And thank you all for joining us for a few miles in our walk with God. That's all for this week. This is Joe Geisler saying goodnight and God bless from Austin, Texas.
And we'll have a lot of laughs, get closer to the Lord, just chill out now with Joe's people.